From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The sixth day of the little secondary Easter octave focused on how we enter into eternal life with the risen Lord Jesus through the Eucharist. Yesterday we focused on the faith that we need, this trust that we place in God, and therefore because of that trust in what he witnesses to and what he says. Today Jesus talks about docility, which is a part of that faith. But it's beyond just faith. It means not just that we trust what the Lord says, but that we realize that he's going to be speaking, and what he's going to be saying we need in order to grow in that living, trustworthy relationship with the Lord. So he talks about docility. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. You know, Pope Francis, and today we can remember him on his baptismal onomastico, we call it. European cultures, you always celebrate the Saints' Day more than you even do your birthday or your baptismal day. He describes his vocational story when he was just a couple months short of his 17th birthday. He was in the Basilica of San Jose in Flores, and he saw a priest he didn't know, and he spontaneously asked to go to confession. He went into that confessional thinking that he was the agent. And he left that confession not just with his plans changed for the day, but the plans changed for his entire life. He knew, and he made up a Spanish word to describe it, that there was an experience of primerear, that God got there first, God beat him to it, that even though he thought he was going, God was actually drawing him there, and it circled his date on the calendar from before the foundation of the world to be there. That God's always drawing us to open ourselves up to what he wants to do. The Father's drawing us. It's already an embryonic, prophetic witness to the fact that he wants to raise us in the last day. If he's drawing us to him now, he wants to draw us to him forever. It's written in the prophets, Jesus says, they shall all be taught by God. God wishes to teach us. God wishes to help us grow. God wishes to nourish us. And everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Two verbs there. Father speaking, and we need to listen, but it's not enough merely to listen. We've got to learn. In Hebrew, there's no distinction between the verb to hear and to obey. We know that there's a distinction. There's a lot that we hear that we don't obey. Would that we all be like the Blessed Virgin who said, let my whole life develop according to your word be done. But to listen and to learn is key. Jesus is obviously doing this in the context of his teaching on the Eucharist, when, as we're going to see tomorrow, most of his disciples will say, this teaching is hard, who can endure it? And most of them left, even though they had seen Jesus' incredible miracles of healing, even though they had heard his words. Off they went because there was a teaching that was too hard for them to endure, and they didn't have that trust, and they weren't willing to be taught. And we'll see on Saturday what Jesus' response was, to turn to his closest followers and say, "Are you two also going to abandon me?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go, Lord?" Words very dear to the cardinal here in New York. "Domine ad quem ibimus," Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. They were willing to be taught, but they had no clue either, but they were going to learn. Jesus was going to bring that to its culmination exactly a year later during the Last Supper, when he fulfilled it by taking bread and wine and giving it as his body and blood for them to eat and drink. To listen to the Lord and to learn. How open are we to learn? It's really those two verbs that describe a disciple. In Greek, you know, the word disciple means student. And in Latin, the word student means to be on fire. It means to be passionate, to be zealous. And that's the type of approach we need to take to the Lord, no matter what the subject, but particularly with regard to the Eucharist. I like to tell a story which illustrates the connection between the two very well. It was told by my psych professor, who was a wild man named Zuanazzi at the JP2 in Rome. He told the story of one of the cover stories for Panorama magazine, their version of People, in which there was one of the Italian porn stars who was being profiled. And the reporter found out that he had gone to the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart in Milan, thought that that might be a little bit of an interesting angle, said, "What did you study there?" And he said, "I studied Christian ethics." And the reporter couldn't believe it, but took the train all the way up to Milan to interview the professor, whom he said he had loved, used to sit in the first row of the classroom, used to ask questions even during class, which is pretty much unheard of in the Italian magisterial system, used to go to what we would call in the United States office hours, and aced his final exam. So when the reporter asked about this man, the professor said, "That man was never my student." So the reporter thought that might have wasted an entire day going up to Milan. Well, is any of that stuff true? Do you recognize him? Was he in your class? He said he was in the front row. He said he used to come and see you. "Oh no, all of that is true, but that man was never my student." And the reporter said, "I'm lost." He said, "I teach Christian ethics. My students are not just those who sit in my classroom and regurgitate what I've taught on the oral final exam. My students are the ones who hear what I say and try to live it. And that man, quell'uomo, non era mai il mio studente. That man was never my student." We all listen to Jesus, but are we learning from him? Are we passionately acting on it? Do we allow ourselves to be drawn from where we are by the Father to where Jesus is and where Jesus wants us? We've got two great lessons of docility in today's first reading. First, in the Deacon Philip, God says, "Get out of bed. Get up. Head south now on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route. Go into the desert." Philip didn't hem and haw. He got up and he did it. He was listening and he was learning. He got up immediately and set out. And that being drawn by the Father was met by another being drawn by the Father, an Ethiopian eunuch, not somebody who grew up speaking Hebrew, had come to Jerusalem to worship in that court of the Gentiles and was returning home, seated in the chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. The fact that this man had worked so hard to have learned Hebrew so that he could be reading in that chariot. You know that it was up until really the 5th century that nobody read silently. It was all read out loud. That was the real way that the Lord drew St. Augustine to conversion, because he couldn't believe the Bishop of Milan, Ambrose, was able to read silently. wow, he could read without reading out loud. But this Ethiopian eunuch was there reading out loud Hebrew as Philip caught up to a chariot, not an easy thing to do, shows how much he was drawn by the Lord. Go up and join that chariot. And so Philip ran up and heard the prophet Isaiah. And he asked that simple question, do you understand what you're reading? Do you get it? Most people don't get it. They want to. If they're reading, they want to understand. But they need a little bit of help. And God provides that help. How can I, the eunuch said, unless someone instructs me? And as Jesus said, they will always be instructed by God. God will remedy that desire to know. So Philip got in and sat with him. And they were going through Isaiah 53, the fourth of the four suffering servant songs. It was interesting, this man's reaction, that he was caught by the suffering of this innocent man. This capacity to endure injustice for the sake of God. He asked that simple question, about whom is he saying this, about himself or someone else? And the answer was, both are true. You can just say yes and yes. The primary author was saying about himself, the secondary author was saying it about someone else. Being prophesied about Jesus and about Jesus' mystical body, how we would participate in that. And so docile was this Ethiopian eunuch that as soon as the deacon Philip was able to expand for him upon salvation history of how it was fulfilled to the letter and what had occurred in Jesus only months before, this man, seeing some water, said, look, there's water. What's to prevent my being baptized right now? He was listening to the Lord who was teaching him. He was learning from the Lord. And he was acting, and he wanted to base his entire life on that. So there was a collision between God's drawing Philip, God's drawing the eunuch, and God's going out there to meet them in that body of water. Remember, where was he going? Into the desert, that body of water in the desert that God had placed there for this miracle from the creation. There it was in the middle of the desert. So it was there that he met the suffering servant, and the suffering servant entered into him through the greatness of the sacrament of baptism. And the Holy Spirit, the one whom Jesus said during the Last Supper, would teach us all things and remind us of everything he taught us. The Holy Spirit with the gift of wisdom and knowledge and understanding would continue that riding with the Ethiopian eunuch and the chariot all the rest of the days of his life. What is to prevent me from being baptized? The promptness that comes when we are listening to the Lord such a way that we wish to obey. So we come back, the very end of today's passage. Jesus makes some astonishing promises. We need to ask him to help us to take this ever more seriously. We all believe in the real presence. The question for us is whether we allow Jesus in the Eucharist to speak to us, to teach us, to draw us, to send us out. And not just in this world, but to draw us all the way to eternal life. Whoever believes has eternal life. We already have it, not will have, it's not future tense. Whoever believes is already living forever. St. John will say elsewhere, repeating Jesus' words, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one God living, and Jesus Christ, whom you ascend. And that know is not just know about, but it's the biblical knowledge. It's conocer in Spanish, not saber. It's the way we get to know a real friend. And we do through Jesus in the Eucharist. The manna came down every day from heaven, because if they didn't have that manna every day, they would go without. And that was a fulfillment to the way Jesus will respond to the prayer, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus actually responded when we pray, "Give us today our super substantial bread." The word is epiousios in Greek, which doesn't really mean daily. It means super substantial. Bread that goes beyond just what our cells need to what our real entire humanity needs. Give us this bread always. And God has, in fact, responded. Every day He rains down the true manna from heaven. And others may ask, "Manu," just like the ancient Jews in the desert, "What is this?" And we're able to play the role of Deacon Philip, and allowing ourselves to be drawn by God, become those instruments to draw them to Him here. Jesus gives us Himself so that we might eat of Him and not die. And that nourishment He gives for the life of the world is His flesh. So we prepare to receive Him, the Master. Let's thank Him for the way that He speaks to us so that we might learn and be taught by God anew today in such a way that we might be able to go out and help others like Philip did, to listen to God speaking to both of us and to be drawn by Him here to this greatest means by which we encounter the Lord, and through this great feast toward the eternal wedding banquet. I am the living bread come down from heaven for you. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.